Welcome to Lions Radio Network, where the show takes you on a roaring adventure with entertaining and stimulating topics focusing on entertainment, sports, business, world news, along with many other topics.
Whatever your interests are,
you will find them right here on Lions Radio Network.
Hello, and a good Saturday to everyone. Welcome back to Spiritual Intelligence Podcast. I'm your host, Ima Sumac-Watkins, and I'm really happy that you guys came back. And if you're new, welcome. I welcome you here, and I hope you keep coming back. I want to say hello to everybody across the country who's been sending me your emails, and thank you so much for your interest and letting me know that you're listening. I like hearing from you, so please, you know, keep emailing me and suggest things that you'd like to hear. I'm always open to them, and I'll try to get people on. So anyway, so now let's get to our guest, because it's a really interesting guest that I have. Her name is Teresa McGarry, and she's an author and poet. And she has a book out, and it's called The Clairvoyant's Daughter. And I was going to read her bio, but I really wanted her to tell us about who she is. But I want to just give you a couple of paragraphs from her book, The Clairvoyant's Daughter. And first, but I just want to say, hi, Teresa, how are you?
Hi, I'm great. I'm excited to be here, and I feel privileged. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. I'm just going to read a couple of paragraphs from the book, because it's really well done. And then I'd like for you to tell us a little bit more about you. So the Clairvoyant's Daughter, I'm just going to give you some excerpts here. How do you tell if it's a monster then? She asked him, concerned. He smiled and touched a fingertip of the center of her forehead. And you'll see something wrong here, and you'll feel it here, as he touched the finger to her chest above her heart. You have a special kind of sight, Diane. You get it from me. Diane was thrilled and smiled up at her father. I do? Yes, he said, and leaned down closer to whisper, but it's a secret, and you mustn't tell anyone unless you know the absolute that you can trust them. It has been 15 years since her mom and dad and stepdad were killed in a car accident on the Rivers Bridge Road, and Diane saved herself and her injured sister. 15 years since she heard a man's laugh while her parents died. A man she knew was a monster. And I'm just going to leave it right there, because it's a really fascinating story. Hi, Teresa. First of all, I just want to say, before we get started, Teresa's one of my favorite people, librarians, okay? Librarians are one of my favorite people, and also libraries. And I had this really long conversation with her about how much I love libraries. So please, now I'm going to give it over to you. Please tell us a little bit more about you.
All right. As I explained a little bit in the bio, I have been writing stories since I was 11, but I was making up characters before that. I would use popsicle sticks, pipe cleaners, paper and tape from the time at least I was 8 that I remember. So it has, being a storyteller has always been a part of my life, and I knew when I started writing that was what I was going to do. There was never any doubt in my mind, even though I dreamed about, like, you know, being a pilot on a starship and stuff like that. You know, the usual.
It's not too late, you know, because it's going that direction. how did you get into the library?
I worked in libraries in school, and I loved books. I loved reading. My mother was a voracious reader, and she had books around, which I read probably all of them. I think I read everything in my fiction in my junior high library as well. And then when I moved to Austin, I did work also in college. I was like a research assistant one summer, and I literally had to find all the libraries on campus, which was a task in itself. But when I came to Austin, I wanted to work at UT, and it took a while, but I finally got on part-time as part of a special project we're digitizing like old newspapers, and which you think about it, because they are literally crumbling, right? But they wanted to get that information. They wanted to save it. And mm-hmm. it was the special scanners and the whole thing. And then I eventually was hired on for 2 part-time jobs and then finally a full-time job. And I was there for over 11 years. And I left. That was when my husband was sick and I needed a more flexible schedule. So, and then I went to work for Austin Public, and I was there for almost 16 years. So most of my adult life has been in libraries of one kind or another.
So when I know you said you started writing early, but when was your first published? What did you publish first? I know you're a poet as well.
Yes. I published poetry throughout school. Mm-hmm. My first was like in fourth grade and then junior high and high school, college, which I got paid for, by the way, which was nice. I've sold a couple of science fiction stories in my late 20s, early 30s. Hard to remember. And that was pretty cool. That was quite a while ago. I was a finalist in the Writers of the Future contest, and I made a short list for Writer's Digest. I've always been writing. Just life itself has been kind of complicated.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So the Clairvoyant's Daughter is the first published book.
Mm-hmm.
And I originally wrote the story. It was kind of a challenge to myself because I normally write science fiction, and it was supposed to be mm-hmm. a straightforward romance.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's not.
Yeah.
I didn't
get
any kind of notification from the contest people, which in retrospect is not surprising. But I thought it was a pretty good story.
How would you describe The Clairvoyant's Daughter? Because there's a really... It's a really good mix here. Would you say it's a... Go ahead, please. Go ahead.
I think I would describe it as a story about healing.
Mm-hmm.
Because the main character has come from... she was molested as a child
mm-hmm.
by her stepfather. And she's always been psychic, which people don't know. As you're reading the book, they don't know that she's psychic. And that has stunted her sort of her social growth and her growth mm-hmm. as a woman. But there's also, her sister who was with her at the time of the accident, she seems really confident and whatnot, but she also has growth as a person.
And I want to talk about that relationship. And I don't want to give the mm-hmm. book away because I want people to go out and get this. And it's on Amazon, by the way, everybody. And there's an ebook version, and then there's a soft cover. So everybody is it's really well done. And it's a relationship as well. It's a relationship between these two sisters as
yes.
well. And it, mm-hmm. It yeah. has really great, because it's a thriller. There's a serial mm-hmm. killer involved. It's really, it's full and it's packed and you keep wanting to read more. It really is, because it's a twist and turn and you kind of know what's going to happen, but yet not. So it's really well done. So what made you want to tell me about how was this sister relationship? How did that come about with you?
I most of the time when I'm writing, I don't have a whole lot consciously in my mind. I just sit and I start writing. And I'm fortunate, I think, in that as a writer. And I very soon as I start will know, obviously, how it begins. And I usually know exactly how it's going to end. And then what I do is I write scenes and things. And I have sisters. I have quite a few sisters, actually. It's complicated. But and I know my mother obviously had sisters and my dad. And so the sister dynamic is one that's very important to me. Because if you've read the dedication, I also talk about sisters of the heart, because I also have those kinds of sisters. And so it's the idea that there's I wanted it to feel real, you know, that sometimes things are tense between them, but that when things get tough, they are there for each other, because that is the normal that I understand as a sibling. Because, like I said, I have a lot of siblings one way or another. But I think about readers' reaction to them, that we have this very shy sister and one that is very confident, or at least comes off as very confident. And she's proud of her, but it's not something that they
talk
show
about.
That they're but she is.
And you know, the book is it's a nice, it's a good page turner, because you're right, it is about healing and it's about trauma and how to get from A to B about your own healing, but it's also it talks about the clairvoyance, and I want to talk about that a little bit because what happens a lot of times is there's children. I think it's a little bit more accepted now, currently.
Oh yeah,
but when children are open psychically, because when they come in, that's how they are. But as you start to grow older, limits are put on you and programming is put on you. So a lot of times people, they just don't want to, show it. But now everybody's kind of pretty open and they accept children to have that, and it's okay for you to have an imaginary, playmate and all of that. So it's a little bit more open, but tell me more about this clairvoyancy, because you wrote it pretty well, and how the interaction of the two sisters plus this man who starts to come into town, which the sister starts to pick up on. Is this something that, is it a personal experience of you feeling that you're psychic, or, where did this come from? Because I know you said you started off wanting to do a romance, but it just channeled it this way. So it's a really.
Yes. I expect that everyone is at least a little psychic, and I have some, I guess, psychic skills.
Yep.
I palmistry from the time I was fairly young. I remember asking my mother to buy me one of those little things, those little books that they have at the checkout counters. I asked her if she'd get that for me about palmistry, and I've studied it quite a bit. And I used to do it for free. I worked as a cocktail waitress, earning money to go back to college. And it got to be kind of a thing. People would come in and ask me to read their palms. And occasionally it would get a little awkward, like the night that there were two couples sitting at a table and they asked me to read their palms. And I said, it looks like there's an affair in there. And sure enough, the husband and wife of the opposite couples were having an affair. And so that was a little strange. So I did palmistry and tarot. Like I said, in college, I was doing it for free. And then my business major friend said, no, you don't have any money. You should earn. You know, people will pay to do this. And they did. It was interesting to me because, like I said, I was doing it for free. But you have to be careful because people are very susceptible to mm-hmm. any kind of suggestion. And so to stay positive about it and still be honest, because I tend to be honest and speak before I'm always thinking. And so I had to be very, very careful because it's not good to be suggesting things like, oh, you should be careful crossing the street or something. And then they get mm-hmm. paranoid. Yeah. So that was, a little bit, I think it runs in the family. My mother was a little bit like that. We used to, she would call me going, are you like okay? I said, yeah, I had kind of a bad day. So always a little bit. And probably, you know, a few hundred years ago, I'd have been burned at the stake, but that's probably not going to happen.
Yeah. There's, you know, it's funny because the clairvoyancy and all of this has been actually tested so many times in different governments around the world, and it's been going on for years, and it's been a secret, and, you know, I mean, it's just, it happens. It's happening right now. I mean, there's governments psychically, you know, looking at each other and, you know, all this, you know, where they, I always forget the name of it, where everybody goes and they, you know, through the mind, they go visit everybody's brain and all of that. And it's, you know, it's going on, you know, and even though people don't want to, even though people don't want to believe it, it is happening, and there's governments going at each other. So it's just a funny thing how it all happens. But you did really well in describing a lot of this and about being clairvoyant and all of that, which I thought was really good, and how the whole dynamics of spirit and all of that. So it was really nicely done. So what is it that you, what is it that you're doing now? I mean, the book is good. You know, I really encourage everybody to go out there and pick up, you know, to go to Amazon and check it out, because it's really well done. So what do you want to do from here?
Well, I just wrote about 72,000 words on a new novel, which I have a list of things that I'm working on. The next one is going to be in the science fiction genre, but it is there are a group of people, you know, they're like out, you know, it's colonies of from Earth have gone out and they have broken away from Earth, and they want to have more colonies, but they know that the percentages of these people of their survival is pretty low, so they don't believe that people should be genetically altered, but they do it one time, and they create these people on these planets so that they will survive, that they'll be able to, the one group is able to draw sustenance from light itself, and the others from Earth, you know, the things that we associate with psychic things now, or pagan sort of things, are used scientifically to help these people survive. And then there are repercussions to that within a society of people who don't believe that it is a good thing, even though they help these people begin. And it is the one of the all-time questions that is in science fiction or speculative fiction: what does it mean to be human? Is it okay to do a lot of cybernetic things, genetic alteration? But what is it that actually defines us and our humanity? And that's a question that I have been exploring pretty much all my life. What makes the question of us and them is one that I struggle with because I don't get it. I don't understand the them thing. And so I keep putting out this theme of, no, what connects us is more important than what is different about us.
It is about connection. Humans want to be connected. They want to be connected, and if they're not connected to something, they don't thrive. And that's why a lot of people connect themselves with pets. With animals, because animals are just there. There is no judgment. There's no, it's just straight up, love. And there is no, it's very simple. And so there's a lot of humans who have challenges with other humans. And so when they connect with animals, it's like they start to learn about love and kindness, and it's safe.
Yes.
It's safe for them, especially going back to people who've had trauma of, say, molestation or physical abuse or all those kinds of abuse where, you get withdrawn and you're isolate and an introvert. Animals are a great therapy because they're very safe and it's very simple. And there is no... They just accept you. They see your spirit, and that's it. There is no judgment about you look bad today. I'm in a bad mood today. The animals are just, they're just there. They're in their own dimension. And if you tune into them, that's why there's so much, it's therapy for a lot of people. So to go back to it, it's, connection. And especially people who have had a lot of trauma, connection is really important.
I agree.
So this is a novel that you've now, remember when we first spoke, you said that you were very much a Star Trek fan.
Very much, yeah. Big Trekkie
now,
fan.
And so the science fiction, did you read, Roddenberry and all those other guys
I'm Dune, one of my favorite books, Hyperion, and Heinlein, obviously, and Asimov, all those, C.J. Cherry. And I know a number of science fiction writers because I was in a science fiction writers group. And, of course, they also write fantasy. So Elizabeth Moon, who lives close by, we used to exchange snail mail letters. And she was there at the beginning of my science fiction writers group, which I don't attend the meetings and stuff anymore, it was good to be connected. As I write in the thing, it's writing is by its definition solitary, but so many people contribute. Their emotional support or their expert information, and sometimes I just ask my guy friends and my brothers, okay, so you're a guy, how would you face this particular situation? And it's usually
illuminating. I understand. Yes. So what do you think about all this coming up? Like, with what's your thoughts about, like Tesla's rockets and even the owner of Virgin, he's got his own. He started way before Tesla. He had his, out in California City, there's a whole landing strip for his rockets and all of that. So he started like maybe 25 years ago. He already did, So what do you think about all this? What's your thought?
I think it's great. I think it's great. I'm, like I said, I was a Trekkie from, way back, and I've watched literally every episode of Star Trek, except the animated series. I'm sorry, I haven't watched those. But the innovation and what science can do for us is always been something that is, I think, optimistic. It helps keep us optimistic as a society. And I think, but yeah. To keep going, yeah, to keep exploring. I am curious about so many things. I just, knowledge in itself is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
As long as we use it to help ourselves and each other, I think this is great.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, the science and, say, sixth sense ability, clairvoyancy, let's just say,
mm-hmm.
clairvoyancy,
mm-hmm.
and all, there's a really thin line, because there's a lot of times
yeah.
scientists channel and they look at it as science, but they're being guided a lot of the times, and of course they'll never admit that. But
no.
So I think there's like this really thin line.
There
you
is.
Know, especially the ones who are who are creating, or you know, who are inventing things and creating and all of that. And it's just, it does take brain work, and it
mm-hmm.
does take, you know, for you to be a scientist and research and all of that. But there's this thin line that lies between this world of dimension, you know, these dimensions
yes.
and also science. So what are your thoughts about that?
When I started reading the Tao of Physics,
uh-huh.
I'd literally like read a paragraph and go, wow, and just
yeah.
have to sort of absorb it. But the more that we get into the smaller particle physics, into quantum mechanics, the closer we get to the whole idea of Zen, the knowledge, the world, that teensy world gets to the point where it's invisible, but that vibrational things that they're talking about are the same. You know,
mm-hmm.
the unseen world that people who are into the more esoteric or the Eastern type of religions or even mysticism find themselves literally on the same page with the people who are discussing these theoretical physics.
I agree.
And it is fascinating to me that
I agree.
It finally come to the same place.
Yes, really well put, because this is something that I've been trying to describe to people.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been doing what I do for a very long time, and I keep learning.
Mm.
I just, you know, I'm a very curious, especially when it comes to energy and all of the works about energy and the science
right.
and the clairvoyancy of it all, and all the dimensional going in and out of dimensions and all of that. So it's very, I keep learning, and it's for me, and I've always wanted, you said you did a really good job of putting it together, because I've been wanting to say the same thing to a lot of people, that it's that we're on the same page. It's just that we're in a different, our feet are in a different space, but we're thinking the same thing.
Exactly.
And, but we're just thinking it differently. They're thinking it more mental and, you know, analyzing and
empirical. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, right. And I and people like myself, we just look at it and we know it. You know, does that make sense?
Yes.
It's we see it
yes.
and we know it. So it's a very it's fascinating, and I love it, and I love speaking to a lot of scientists, because we're kind of on the same page, but it's just fun
mm-hmm.
to talk to. Now, I sent you I'd like to get your take on, I sent you a link to a show that
mm-hmm.
Donna Lyons, who's the owner of who's the head of our network, and I do a show called
right.
The Mind Twist, and
yeah.
I sent you this link with Barbara Lamb, who is a
mm-hmm.
regressionist, and she does amazing work with a lot of people who have been abducted, or just people who just need to, you know, deal with trauma and all of that. So tell me what you mm-hmm. think about that, since we're in the science fiction and all of this.
What do I think?
tell me your take on Barbara Lamb and that interview, because I believe a lot of everything that she said.
I, you know, I I know that something is happening. There is no doubt in my mind about that. I don't know exactly what it is, but I am, my tendency is to give people the benefit of the doubt, to believe them.
Mm-hmm.
And so she sounds incredibly sincere and honest, and I believe her. There is no doubt that there is something happening. It is, I don't have any firsthand knowledge of that.
Mm-hmm.
At least not that I know of. I did work with someone who believed that she had been abducted.
Mm-hmm.
All I had was her word, and so I don't know enough about it. I haven't examined the evidence myself that closely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But knowing what I do know through my own research and reading into dimensional things and parallel universes and whatnot, it is certainly possible. Everything
mm-hmm.
is possible in terms of moving from one place to another, whether it's with faster than light travel or through hyper dimensions. However we do it, there is no doubt in my mind that it can happen and possibly is happening.
Mm-hmm. And just for everybody out there to know, Barbara Lamb, which was on a show called The Mind Twist, which is on this network, by the way,
mm-hmm.
it's called The Mind Twist. Barbara Lamb is a woman who, for the past 40 years, has been doing regression, and she started
mm-hmm.
off doing regression with just, she's a you know, full-on psychologist, and it started with just her therapy, and it just started to get deeper and deeper, and she kept taking, she has curiosity as well, so she just kept learning and learning more, and
mm-hmm.
the more that she regressed more people, just more people started to come with her, and she got to a point where people who had been abducted had started to come to her, and then it progressed from there, because as time went on, it started to, more things started to reveal, and the different
mm-hmm.
You know, people that are out there and who've been abducted, but all the different stories and hybrids and all of that. So she's very well informed. She's been doing this for a tremendous
mm-hmm.
amount of time, and she's on a lot of different shows around the different networks, you know. So she's very legitimate, and she's very, very knowledgeable, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
And she's a source of information for anything that having to do with that. And So I know that I wanted to send that to you, just because I know that it would be, you know, something, since you write a lot of science fiction, I thought it would be
yeah.
very interesting for you to like, you know, get to know her.
Oh, yeah, it was fascinating. And she is clearly knowledgeable and honest. You know, she's very
mm-hmm.
forthcoming about what she's doing and how she's doing it. It is extraordinary, really.
Mm-hmm.
And I had not,
yep.
I had not heard of her, but I know more now than I did, and I will certainly continue to follow what she's doing. I was fascinated. It was very enlightening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So thank you for that, by the way.
Oh, absolutely. I wanted, you know, so now let's get back to you. Now, I know you have this novel coming out, and so what's next? But what do you see coming up for you, you know, for the next year or so? What else is going on with you?
Well, the next one, like I said, will be science fiction. I am going to publish another book of poetry fairly soon,
mm-hmm.
which is called Love Is Not a Bullet.
Mm-hmm. a great title.
Which is it's a line from one of the poems that is in the book called Ammunition, which is not is my father was into guns, and he had some. Well, there are a couple things that happened. Anyway, a lot of issues about all that, but that's normal. Everybody goes through stuff like that with their parents. But anyway, it's also about the varying kinds of love, like between a parent and a child and between siblings and friends and whatnot. Also poetry about myself, obviously. This particular poem, which the title is from, I actually read that at Performance Poetry. I had been at some of the venues in Austin, which is well known for its performance poetry. And someone came up to me afterwards and said, "I can't believe you wrote that. And I can't believe you read it out loud in public." And I thought, isn't this the point? To share these feelings and to have people identify them and understand that you are expressing the pain that they cannot reveal. And the healing that comes from doing that. And that's a positive thing.
Absolutely.
I think so. It was, I thought it was a good thing. I think it touched this person, and they were saying, "I understand those wounds, and I'm afraid to show mine." So that's one of the things that validates one as a poet or a writer or an artist of any kind, I think, is when you, even just one person says, "I get it." I am happy writing and sharing. That's all I've always wanted to do.
Well, it's been really wonderful to have you. Now, how do they reach you? If somebody wants to, reach out to you, what's the best way for them to reach out to you? And by the way, everybody, I'm going to say this again. The Clairvoyance Daughter is on Amazon, you guys, and it is really good. And take the time to do it. And she has a download on it. She has an ebook. She has a regular book. So go to it. But how do they reach you, Teresa?
They can do it through Amazon, I think. I have a partial author page up there. I have a Gmail account, which you know about, the Teresa. JMC at Gmail. That's fine too. I don't have a website yet. I'm working on that, but it's not quite up and running. I was trying to do too many things at once, and I thought getting the books out there was more important than the website initially, so I'll work on that.
Not a problem. And I have her information, by the way, her email address up on the link so that you guys can go if you guys want to get in touch with her, and also Amazon. It's called The Clairvoyance Daughter, and it is the title of the show as well, so you can't miss it. and I'll also put down the link to the Amazon in there so you guys got it. So you guys will see it, and there is no, you can't miss anything of this, so you can have. So I would love to have you back when you've got your novel out. That would be really great.
The next one.
Yeah,
is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
It's called Comes the Morning of All the Setting Suns.
Oh, interesting. Very nice.
Yeah.
Nice title. Okay. I would love to have you when you have that out. And if there's any questions, we're going to wrap it up. So just as a goodbye, is there anything that you'd like to say to all of the people out there who are wanting to publish a book or who are wanting to write or who are just moving in that direction? What would you be some words for them?
Don't give up the dream. Don't stop writing. And don't be afraid to share.
Fantastic. So we're going to thank you. Thank you. So you guys have everyone, you are listening to Spiritual Intelligence. We had our guest, which is Teresa McGarry, Her book is The Clairvoyant's Daughter. You can get all the information in the link. And I just want to say goodbye to everyone and come on back. There's always some really good things to hear and to learn from this program. We are on iTunes. We are iHeart. We are on Amazon, on Spreaker. You can pull us up on Alexa. And, of course, you're listening to Blog Talk Radio. And thank you, Lions Radio Network, for having us here and being on the show. And come on back again, everybody. Love to hear from you. You can reach me at emasumacwatkins@gmail.com. Love to hear any comments and any suggestions. So thank you again, Teresa, for being with us. And
thank
we look
you.
Forward to having you on again.
All right. Well, thank you so much. It's been, like I said, a privilege. I very much appreciate it.
All right, then, everyone. Until next week.